I am gonna miss that.
Yeah.
Saying, I can't sit stills. I can't sit still.
Yeah.
And like dancing in my seat when he scores. I'm gonna
miss
that.
Keep stills.
Ugh.
What's up, Hoodat Nation, and thanks for joining us on the Dome Patrol podcast. I'm your host, Jeff, and I'm not drunk this week. But...
it's like a streak for you, right?
I think... No, I was drunk. I was drinking when we did the Jimmy Graham thing.
Okay.
Or
it was just the two of us.
Not... I don't... No, not that one. The one before that, yeah.
Okay.
So three would be a streak. All right. Anyway... It hasn't been that long since our last show, but it feels like it's so much has happened. Damon, you missed out on the Jimmy Graham talk, so I'm sure you're going to have something to add to that one. But we do have a whole slew of roster moves to talk about, so much that Saints fans next year really will be heard saying, "Who dat?" See what it did there? So put your seatbelt
Damon on. Damon is not amused.
Put your seatbelts on, keep your hands and legs inside your earbuds at all times, and enjoy the show. Jason, welcome to the show. What's your number?
If I can get through all the background noise from Damon, I can tell you that my number is probably just the one.
Right.
Is it loud?
Yeah, it sounds like you're on a freeway.
I just opened a bottle of wine. I'm on glass number two, so.
Still not drinking liquor?
No, still not drinking liquor.
Is that, what are you turning the water off, Damon? What, are you taking a shower? Are you doing the show?
I had the fan on. How about now?
There you go. Welcome to the show, Damon. What's your number?
Zero.
Fantastic.
Once again, I'm the only one with the number.
A low one at that. So
right.
It's going to be a coherent show.
I mean, again, even though it's the off season, we've kind of matured in our casting ways. So.
Yeah, you know, times they change.
Although you know what this means, like I'm probably due for a big number at some point.
Oh yeah, it'll happen.
I'm trying to hold off as long as possible.
What it means is that we're going to be relatively coherent, but we're not going to lose our lewd humor.
Fuck, shit, ass!
The groundskeeper Willie? Who the? No, who
did? That was from Boondock Saints.
That's right. Okay, so let's jump into headlines.
Hello, I'm Kent Brockman, and this is Eye on Springfield.
Where we have plenty of them. The first of which we'll talk about is the Kenny Stills trade to Miami, where we picked up linebacker Darnell Ellaby.
Pretty shocking at first, just considering Stills was cheap and he was productive. And
sound like my ex-girlfriend.
When with the trade of Graham, you figured, all right, well, we need all the receivers we can get. So a little stunned at first, but you could see... something had to be amiss in the locker room, or there was something with him off the field that they didn't really like and were willing to move him. And you drafted him in the fifth round, you get a third round in return, and you get a linebacker, Ellerby, who I guess maybe a slight upgrade from Lofton, even though he did miss most of last season with a hip injury, so that's a little worrisome.
Right. Jason, you said something last week. I can't remember. I wasn't on. I got to hear it, but I wasn't. Something about the Saints are like another team. I can't remember who you said. Who? Do you remember that?
I think the name began with a P, maybe.
I'm telling you that was an original idea that popped out of here.
A team with an asshole coach, I think.
I'll give you the Saints.
The team that hasn't won a Super Bowl in a few weeks, actually.
All right.
Who doesn't have a defensive lineman named Vince Wilfork?
Well, look, with Kenny Stills, and y'all kind of touched on it last week. You know, and this was pretty early when the information was coming out.
When the crazy flurry of 72 hours or whatever it was, just madness,
right.
Really.
But, I mean, y'all touched on the fact that, you know, is this cap room, you know, decisions, or is this locker room decisions? And y'all said last week that, you know, y'all believed it was locker room decisions, and I agree 100%.
Yeah, I think this. I think it's when you can accomplish both at the same time. You start there. The Kenny Stills one, like Jason said, if he was not costing us that much money, and he was relatively productive.
No, he was dirt cheap for the production he was giving us.
Oh, sure.
Okay, so that one has to be strictly locker room, or.
There was news that leaked out that Breeze wasn't that happy with Stills this year. Something about him just not being focused, or something to that effect. So.
Really?
To me, Peyton looked at, hey, 7-9, a bunch of knuckleheads in a locker room. Hey, he was one of them. And to get a starting linebacker and a third-round pick in return.
All right, from a fifth-round pick. I mean, that's a quality move, and I hate to keep beating this point. But I mean, it is a Patriots-type move.
Well, because you have a quarterback who can make – any 100%. Receiver better. And something I heard somebody talking about was just along that line where look at Saints receivers, not that there's too many of them, that leave and how they perform with other quarterbacks than when they did with Drew Brees. They're not.
Well, but it's not like we let them leave when they were in their prime, like a lot of guys. Like,
well, right.
We got our use out of them and then we let them go.
Right, but anybody who is worried about, oh, we made a bad move with Kenny Stills, the next guy is right around the corner.
You're assuming so. I mean, as of now, we got Cooks, Colston, and
Arrington.
Cooks, Tune, Shontavious Jones.
Coleman.
Brandon Coleman. I mean, a lot of unproven guys. And I guess now with you got to think they're going to pick a receiver. It's some point fairly early on with all the
players. I am surprised that Nick Tune is still with this team with as many people as being cut and traded that Nick Tune has survived this long.
Maybe I don't know. Yeah.
But you know, you joke about Arrington, I thought you. But you look, if you remember back in 2009, our receivers were Andre Arrington.
Marcus, you mean Adrian Colson, Arrington?
Adrian Arrington.
Except he didn't play.
Right. Marcus Colston, Devery Henderson, Robert Meacham, Lance Moore, and, you know, Courtney Roby was technically a receiver. You know, Marcus was probably a little more in his prime then than he is today.
He was. And even Meacham, too. Meacham was right in his prime. That was Meacham's best season, right? 2009?
Yeah, but I mean, that's my point. It was his best season. Was it Meacham or was it Breeze?
I mean, a lot of it has to do with Breeze, but Meacham still had talent. He was a first round draft pick.
Meacham,
I mean,
was better than he is now.
The core of that
was Colston and Devery. You just need two, and now we have Colston and Cooks.
Well, hold on, but Meacham scored 9 touchdowns. Meacham was a big part of that offense that year.
Meacham.
Inform the Emperor that the Jedi Temple has been sealed.
Yes, my lord.
Annie?
What the?
Annie! Little Annie!
Jar Jar, I am no longer Anakin Skywalker.
These are some nice adults, you fooppa!
Look, Jar Jar, it is very important that you never speak to me again.
What's happened to you?
You should burn your face.
Jar Jar!
Annie Propani! What's happened to you?
Jar Jar, homie, my main man, quickly. Before the Separatists attack, get into the escape pod.
Hey, if this is escape, then we're the pod.
He was a huge part, and that's still talent. Like, that's the only thing with Stills. Right. Like, you're getting rid of talent. Like, yeah, Breeze is great, but you still need some talent on the outside.
Right. Well, but again, you go back to the team we're talking about, the Patriots. You know, who is Tom Brady throwing to?
Oh. There's a reason they didn't win a Super Bowl for over a decade with pieces of shit receivers. As good as Brady is, you can't keep trotting out Deion Branch and David Patton. And
okay.
I mean, you had Wes Welker. They let go of him. I guess you had Edelman.
I'm talking about this year. I mean, you had Gronkowski.
Yeah, Edelman.
Edelman.
That's pretty much.
No, well, no. Yeah, Brandon LaFell. I mean, he wasn't great,
true.
Well, but that's my point. I mean, They don't have to be great. That's what I'm trying to tell you. You don't need Jerry Rice.
That's what I'm trying to tell you, boy.
Right, but they also had, had the number one tight end in football. I mean, that kind of helps when your receivers are in.
Well, again, but he was a receiving threat, sure. So he had one great talent.
So maybe they feel good about Toon's development. I mean, I say what I say about Toon, but he did have a better year this year than he did ever.
Right, but it was hard to get any worse.
That's true.
I mean, right.
I'm trying to, I'm putting on rose-colored glasses.
I mean, they must.
You set the bar low.
They must, like him, like Coleman, and like Jones. I mean, they're all projects that they're kind of high on. They're question marks right now. You can't really count on any of these guys so far. And to me, trading him means they're definitely going to draft a receiver with one of the first handful of picks. I mean, they kind of have to, unless they sign a veteran off the street. I mean, I think Michael Crabtree might still be out there. And
no, I mean, he is. Yes, he is. But.
But right, I mean, if they're clearing the locker room,
they're trying to get rid of. Not
right, if they're clearing the locker room, that's not the kind of guy you want to bring in. It was, I mean, at least.
All right, we'll talk about what do you know about Darnell Ellerby?
He was pretty solid the last year with the Ravens when they won their Super Bowl. He parlayed that into a big contract with Miami. Played okay his first year and then missed basically all of last year with an injury. So
Darnell,
and he's a question mark just because of, I mean, hip injuries. It's not an easy thing to come back from, so you're just hoping that he'll come back and play solidly. And I think, I mean, his cap figure was 8-point-something, but they did restructure it. Now, the details haven't come out on what he reduced it to, but there was no way they were going to be able to fit him under the cap with that 8.5 number. So I guess we'll see over the next few days what kind of cut he got.
Do you think he's better than Lofton? Like, if he's healthy and he recovers, is he better than Lofton?
I think what I've read is that he's a pretty decent in coverage.
Oh.
Which Lofton was terrible at.
Right. You know, Lofton was a tackling machine, but, that can be deceptive. If, are you tackling him behind the line of scrimmage, a yard in front, or 5 yards behind? You can make 1,000 tackles, but if you're tackling the guy after 15 yards, well, you really ain't done me any good.
Mm-hmm. I think if he's healthy, he should be even or maybe a slight upgrade, I guess. It's all going to depend on his health.
Sure. I mean, I think, that's all these guys have to be on the field, obviously. No one helps you in the locker room. So can he play or, physically, can he get on the field? I think we know he can play. I mean, he had these guys get hurt, He's missed 1 year. I mean, it's not like he was always hurt in Baltimore.
No.
I think he was Ray Lewis's backup, if I'm not correct.
Yeah, yeah. And then that last year with Ray, he stood in for him more and more.
Right.
Definitely talent there. You just got to
– Yeah, I mean, and, that, you know.
And, I mean, you know, they're going to have to – what do they do with the pick that they obtain? They have to – you have to get a quality player there. I mean, that'll be the big barometer of the trade, too. And like we said last week, a lot of these picks, and we'll get into the results of all the moves with all the draft picks, but they have to hit on this entire draft.
All right. So our next big move was signing C.J. Spiller from the Buffalo Bills. They signed him to a 4-year deal, which means he's going to play from his age 28 to 31.
I mean, right where you want him, really.
Perfect.
Yeah.
Great trade.
Wasn't a trade. You signed him.
Great free agent. Great pickup. We had talked about it during the year, saying that we don't have the first time in Sean Payton's tenure here, we don't have that satellite back, that scat back. Spiller fits that role perfectly. I was watching some of his highlights. Some of the plays that I always loved from Darren Sproles was the draw. It always seemed like when we ran a draw with Sproles, he'd pick up big yardage. Watching a lot of plays with him in Buffalo and highlights, he's very good at the draw.
He's explosive. We finally have an explosive player that if he gets out in the open field, he can take it to the house.
Well, Reggie would like that. I mean,
right. Well, right. But not having that this past year and
really looking at
right. And looking at Spiller, it's not hard to imagine him coming in and having kind of the same impact that Sproles had when he came in 11. I mean, if he's healthy all year, there's a system that can work to his advantage, and the talent is good enough where he could put up one of these monster lines of maybe like 700-800 yards rushing, catch 70 balls.
Is he a good receiver as well? Like, is he good hands?
Yeah, he catches a lot of passes.
Right. You know, well, and one of the nice things, he, you know, Doug Marrone, who was our offensive coordinator, was his coach for the last 2 years. So I would think the transition and maybe some terminology, you know, should be a little easier with Spiller coming here.
Could be part of why he came
right,
here.
You know. Right.
Well, but he also
that and it's the fucking Saints, bitch.
Well, right. He comes in and says, like, holy shit, look what Reggie did, look what Sproles did.
Right.
You know, like this okay, offense indoors on turf can suit my talents very well. Mm-hmm. And I'm getting the fuck out of Buffalo.
Right. That's an interesting stat. I heard someone talk about him in like his, I think he's had 16 indoor games and he's averaging 5.7 or 6 yards, a touch. In stadiums, you know, just
so is Ingram.
Oh, and that's something it's interesting. He got more money than Ingram got. I mean, it wasn't that much more, but he did get a little more. But both guys, 4 years, so you got gonna have this tandem for the next.
Yeah, save the runningback.com
for the rest of God. For the rest of Breeze's career, you got Ingram and you got Spiller the 4 years, assuming they stay here the 4 years. But two deals that aren't. I mean, not that expensive when you look at some of the deals. I mean, Sean McCoy got a big extension in Buffalo. DeMarco Murray signs with Philly. You know, getting Ingram and Spiller combined for $7-8 million a year, it's not too bad if they stay healthy and we do what they think they can do. It should help the offense.
So Jay Bird came over last year from Buffalo, right?
Yeah.
Who else? Is that all the Buffalo players we picked up?
Just one. Yeah, I don't know why you thought we signed a shit ton of Buffalo guys.
Okay.
No, I just mean, the one.
if you want to go back, Jabari Greer came from Buffalo, you know.
Oh, that's who I was thinking of. Okay.
That was a good move.
Yeah, I mean, if Jay Bird can be healthy, I mean, we could be, like, plucking Buffalo's best players of the last 7 years or however long.
But, well, again, I mean, I just sum it up. I think we needed that satellite back. That is a big part of Sean Payton's offense.
Yeah, really could see us missing that last year.
Yeah. And even though his fans look, I think, especially when we had Deuce, you know, I know early on in Payton's tenure here, I was always calling for more Deuce.
What, the Deuce?
Because I knew what Deuce could do. He's a great back. But that's, we've always said, that's just not Sean Payton. I know we're excited about Ingram, but look, we are not going to be, because I've heard this, we are not going to be a running team. You know?
Maybe. Well, I think your C.J. Spiller making more money proves it.
No, not necessarily. I just think everybody's just overreacting to, oh, we're going to be this running team now.
Right.
I'm like, hey, Sean Payton's still our coach, right?
Right. He is. Sean Payton will never be a run first coach.
He's building his same formula, just with different players.
Right. You get you have Ingram playing the Deuce role, and you got Spiller playing the Reggie role. It worked out great.
There you go.
When you overloaded, and but I mean, Ingram is still going to get a good amount of carries, and getting Unger in here helps. But we're still, like I said last week,
Saved by the Bell, the new class.
Oh Jesus! Except
well, but you know,
that's a terrible. When I wake up in the morning.
So not really having that scat type back last year where I think hurt us. And also with Jimmy, I think we came sort of predictable.
Yeah, that's
by our personnel on the field.
Yeah.
At least I felt that way sitting in the stadium. Me and my buddy, I mean, I would see who's coming on and off, and I would say, okay, this is a run, this is a pass. And at least I felt that I was pretty accurate on what was going to happen. With a player like Spiller back there, where he is dangerous, that he can take that draw play or, you know, kick out the backfield, I think that'll help with our predictability.
Who's our fullback?
Who cares?
Okay. I just think that, I mean, you're saying like Ingram, could you put Ingram and Spiller back there and let Ingram block for Spiller?
If we're just going to run Spiller, we're not going to use Ingram to block, but you may have Ingram on left, Spiller on the right. Like, hey, we might run, we might throw, who knows? But we're not going to have...
What are you going to do? You're going to run the ball? Maybe we'll throw the ball. I don't know. Call me. Tell me.
Ingram's not blocking. Ingram's not playing fullback.
No. All right. That's what I ask. Okay, so the next signing was Brandon Browner. We talked about this last week about what do we think the possibility of getting Browner. We thought it would be between him and
Tremont Williams
from Green Bay, who incidentally signed with Cleveland today, I believe.
Yeah, $7 million a year.
Yeah, and how much did we get Browner for?
$5 million a year, I think.
What's up?
3 years, 15?
So Browner comes in. For those who don't know, he got a Super Bowl ring with Seattle 2 years ago. He got a Super Bowl ring with the Patriots this year. And so he'll get a Super Bowl ring with the Saints this year.
Go place your bets in Vegas. Our odds have dropped since the Jimmy trade. So I think we're at 20-something or maybe 30-1. To me, that's great odds.
Mm-hmm.
You're a gambling man.
So Browner comes in. He's a physical guy. He's physical. Definitely that Seattle mentality of, I'm going to take the chances that they're not going to call pass interference.
And he's big, so he can cover all the bigger receivers in the division. They're bringing him in to help be a locker room leader. He even mentioned today he can envision himself coming in and helping. You know, he wants to be a leader. He's been around, and his only issue is he's been suspended for PEDs. And I think if he were to get caught again, it'd be either a half season or a full season suspension.
Hmm. Sounds like the kind of guy.
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't worry about the PEDs. One of the things I didn't know that I think him and Keenan Lewis played in college together.
Oh, did they?
They both, yeah, Oregon State.
Yeah.
Oh,
supposedly he helped
the old band back together.
Browner helped recruit Keenan Lewis to Oregon State, so they've kept in touch.
The word on the street is that Lewis helped recruit Browner. Yeah, right. Saints.
So I guess Keenan wants to stay again, right?
Yeah, like we said last week, Keenan's response was...
Right, it was just
I'm 20-something years old, and I'm going to say something on Twitter that I can't get back. Or Instagram, whatever.
Yeah. Yeah, and then some people saying, oh, all right, Lewis, whatever, get him the fuck out of here. And I'm like, hold on. You're not going to trade Lewis because trading Lewis puts us back in the same spot we were with Sun and Browner, and that all we have is one competent cornerback. And how'd that work out for us?
Yeah, those people belong on message board mayhem.
People overreacted so quick, and I'm like, slow the fuck down.
I love how. All right, so the people who reacted too quickly to Keenan's comments by saying we'll cut his ass are doing the exact thing that they're saying bad things about Keenan for doing. Like, oh, he shouldn't overreact so quickly. Really? Really? How about you, asshole?
Right, right. Everybody's like, no, fuck Keenan now. I'm like, stop.
The only thing I jump to are conclusions.
The whole point of signing Browner was as a competent number two to Keenan's number one. We need that.
Oh, my God. Now, and that's going to end up resulting in a better defensive line as well.
I mean, it's just a better defense overall. You know, like, you don't sign Browner and then just dump Keenan, and then what? Then you're stuck drafting a guy and hope he pans out.
Then you can't cut. Oh, which brings us to our next move. Corey White has been released.
Such a glorious day.
Oh, our prayers have been answered. Corey White and Patrick Robinson, no longer Saints. Well, Patrick Robinson, we still need to make sure that
he's visiting with the Steelers. Apparently there's interest from several teams.
Oh, good.
I mean, do these teams not have tape of the Saints?
You're going to get him for the minimum.
I don't care what you get him for. He's not worth it.
I don't think Corey White's worse. Patrick Robinson,
if you slide him into the nickel, I guess he could be. If you're not relying on him as one of your top two cover guys,
right?
terrible. But...
Didn't he lead the team in interceptions last year? Two?
Couldn't have been more than, yeah, two.
Maybe three?
Yeah, two. That's all you need to know. Two.
In one game. Like, oh, that's why the Steelers are interested, because they were against Ben Roethlisberger. I mean, the Steelers are like, wow, this guy's pretty good.
But it was interesting. I mean, White got released, and he got claimed by the Cowboys.
Excellent.
He's now a Cowboy.
That's awesome.
That is awesome. So,
hey, as long as he's out of our hair, I'm happy.
Oh, this is. I don't know what we're going to do with the show. That was a good 10-15 minutes of material every week.
Hey, I'm sure you'll find somebody. Maybe a Stanley Jean-Baptiste or somebody. There'll be somebody. Somebody's going to become the new Punching Bag.
Somebody, yeah. All right, so then Ben Nubs was...
It's not going to be Nubs either. Damn.
Uh-huh. Speaking of Punching Bags.
Right. You know, I mean, I'm glad to see him go, but man, I got to retire the Nubs now. And I'll be honest with you, I can't believe that we got anything for him.
What did we get for him?
A fifth round pick.
Nice.
So, look, we'll draft an offensive lineman in that spot and hopefully groom him. But I just couldn't believe, because I just assumed he was going to be cut. I just can't believe that we got anything. To me, getting rid of him and getting anything in return is a plus in my book.
Sure. Well, the funny thing is, in last week's show when we were talking and we talked about when they got the center, we thought, oh, I thought Lolito, this, that. Now Lolito is likely going to move over and play, just like we were talking about. Could Lolito move over to the left?
Or, I mean, they could still draft a guy. I mean, that's...
I think you draft a guy, but Lolito's played on the line. He's got experience.
Well, but if they draft a guy in the first round, maybe like a Collins from LSU, you got to think they'd probably... Oh. They'd at least want to plug him in over Lolito. Now, the Saints haven't drafted an offensive lineman in the first round under Peyton, so I don't know how likely that's going to be, but if that were to happen...
Just depends on what the mock draft says.
Or who knows, if Carl Nix wants to come back.
It'd be fun to kick the tires on Carl Nix.
It'd be fun! Oh, kick it!
That's a good trip, Papa.
It'd be the Pelicans next commercial.
You know... You know what? That is a good idea for a Pelicans commercial.
It sure is.
But yeah, I think Lolito definitely put a guard.
Assuming, that another draft pick doesn't come in and.
Yeah, but
that's
the theory.
But hey, look, though, you bring the draft pick in, they fight for the job. Good.
Yeah, more depth, more competition. That's always a good thing.
Right. All right. So Nubs is going. So I mean. I read one piece of clickbait that was saying, like, winners and losers of free agencies, and this person had the Saints as a loser, mainly because we lost Jimmy Graham, and that was pretty much all they.
I mean, because he's the high
argument.
He's
on.
The high profile guy, and everybody's like, "Oh, we're rebuilding, we're rebuilding." Oh, bullshit! You don't know shit.
Right. Somebody who doesn't know anything about.
I've heard several people say this on talk radio, and it's funny because it's a conversation Doug and I would have about getting rid of or having Graham not here, because I hate getting rid of, it's not, but having Graham not here takes away Breeze's security blanket, kind of forces him
to not throw it into his triple coverage blanket.
Yes, my God, yes. I mean, come on, guys, how many times did we see that? And look, most times it did not end up in an interception, but
But all it takes is a few.
Right. I mean, so.
That and Jimmy, like we talked about the alligator arms. I mean, Jimmy is not going to be, I'm convinced, he's not going to be as Jimmy in Seattle.
Oh,
because their offense is not built.
Well, but it's a running offense, but it is designed for the tight ends in the offense now. But here's the thing with Jimmy, and part of the reason for his alligator arms was like, man, the way we running up the seam, he took some shots. I mean, just straight up, you leave him very exposed when you run him out there because he's so big. You just throw it up and he gets it, but it leaves him prone to just a guy coming in and delivering these big blows, especially the one against Tampa. Either last year, and then after that, you could just tell a difference between them. So
right. I think that Tampa hit was 2 years ago, to tell you the truth.
So is he going to be like that for the rest of his career now?
Again, last year he dropped some ball. He dropped a lot of balls that we all felt he shouldn't have, and he in the alligator arms. I'm not trying to question his toughness. A man's twice as tough as me. If I'd have taken that that Tampa Bay hit, I would have the die.
He's tougher than us, of course. Right. We're not saying he's not
still
a tough. Right. We're not saying he's not tougher than us. But
football tough.
Football.
But it was getting maximum value.
Are you talking about tough?
Oh my God.
He's not tough enough. You're tough.
You know what? This word tough has been tossed around lately with the changes that we've made.
So what's the plan? You're gonna use the Force.
He doesn't need the Force. He is a Force. Meet Zeb.
That thing's not a Wookiee.
Every team needs a tough guy.
Zeb, are you embarrassing the Imperials again?
Honestly, it's hard not to.
No, we're not on a toughness crusade.
But it's, I mean, look, it's maximizing value from Jimmy thinking, all right, our offense should be okay without him. And look, getting a Pro Bowl center, which we needed, and then getting the first round pick, hopefully we can convert it into a useful piece.
Right. Hopefully we don't waste it on a P-Rob player.
Right.
But, and y'all touched on it a little bit last week. I wasn't here. I'd like to give my 2 cents.
That's really all the time we have.
Bye-bye, donkeys.
I really do believe that Jimmy took the negotiations a little too personally. I believe that he did get his feelings hurt by the, you know, wide receiver tight end. And I believe that, you know, I believe that showed in his attitude last year.
That's what we're hearing. I don't know of anything I could point to that would be proof of that.
I mean, we don't know. We weren't in the locker room.
Well, no shit. No shit. I mean, half the shit we talk about, we don't fucking know, okay?
Or in Jeff's case, all of it.
Hey.
Hey, relax, guy. Break my balls, man.
But back to Jimmy. Again, you know, remember the first preseason games, you know, he dunked the ball. And all right, everybody kind of, you know, all right. But then when he did it again, I think that showed a little defiance. He did get his feelings hurt. And you know how
he got his feelings hurt over not being classified as a tight end.
As
a wide receiver and getting the biggest fucking contract he's going to ever have in his career.
Right.
But it dragged out. Maybe his name was brought up.
Well, his fucking ass dragged it out too. It takes two to lie. One to lie and one to listen.
What does that mean?
Weaseling out of things is what separates us from the animals. Except the weasel.
But some of it, I mean, I've heard people say that, you know, because of Jimmy's sad background, you know, being abandoned by, you know, his mother and all that, and then Peyton having to testify against him.
Oh, he felt betrayed?
Yeah, I mean, I can, you know, I can see that, I guess.
He's young. He probably took it personal.
Right. These are just negotiations. Relax.
Well, but then that's unprofessional to allow that.
Sure. He's a young kid. He's a young man, and I think he took it personal. You know, instead of just business, I think he took it personal. I believe that was a major factor in him being traded, especially considering the fact that we actually, you know, acquired $10 million more dollars of cap on the trade. And again, I do love the trade, a number one pick and a starting center who some consider might be the best in the league, you know, definitely in the top five. And man, how nice is it going to be next year when Drew Brees can step up in the pocket and climb that ladder? I mean, come on, guys. We all know that's when magic happens.
Right. I mean, you give him an extra second or two every possession, and he's going to find the open guy.
Right.
And another thing, too, the reports coming out from Unger, like his coach has said, like he's one of the smartest players that this coach has ever seen. And he's going to, you know, he's going to lead the offensive line. I mean, that's a big, going to have a huge effect on the offense.
Unger said he was pretty upset about the trade originally or something. He said he wasn't happy to be
traded, not because of who he went
to. Right. It was just because he went to college up in Oregon, and he's lived up in the Northwest for a long time. It's, I mean, think about it. If you get first time he's ever got traded, it's,
well, it makes me a little nervous, but I guess he'll get over it.
I'm not nervous about him at all.
Right. No, not at all. No, it's just, I think he's been in the league 5 years. He's only played for one team. You know, I'm pretty sure Graham probably felt close to the same way. You know, I mean, it's just tough being traded when you think, okay, this is my job. You know, imagine if trade you somewhere, you know, and you're like, well, but I'm comfortable here. I like, this is what I've known for the past.
Well, but no, I, you entered a profession where that's prevalent.
Well, yeah, but that doesn't mean you like it.
But still, you still got a human emotion. You know, it's still
right. All
right. You're still a human. You got a fucking robot.
Hello, Smithers. You're quite good at turning me on.
You know, porn girls know they have to have sex, but I'm sure they don't like it when it's up the butt. I mean, you know.
Wait,
but it's part of the job.
Did he say call girls or poor girls?
Porn girls.
Oh.
Oh, I don't know. I thought he said poor, too. I was like, what? We're rich. Who cares?
No, but I mean, yeah, I'm sure he knew the possibility and all that. But it's funny, this year, tell me if I feel like I've seen more trades than I have in a long time. I mean, do y'all not feel that way?
Well, and
Saints, for sure.
No, but I mean, maybe if you look at it, the numbers might be the same, but it's the players that are involved. Like,
maybe so, right?
Big name players get traded,
right?
Big time players. That, big time trades.
You got McCoy getting traded. You got Mike Wallace getting traded. You don't see you just don't see star players. You'll see, oh yeah, a linebacker and whatever, or like a trade a player for a pick, not a player for a player.
Right. Not definitely a player for a player.
That was a lot of fun when just stuff was coming out left and right. You really didn't know who might be next, and there still could be moves coming.
Wouldn't put it past them, huh?
No. I mean, especially with the cap situation. I mean, we've taken on money. I mean, yeah, we dumped a lot, but we got a lot of dead money this year. And, I mean, to sign all these picks, there might still need to be a move or two made where we're trading or releasing a guy.
Yeah, we have $21 million in dead money as of now.
I mean, we're gonna take our hit this year, but then in the coming years.
But that's just it. You know, as of now, we have $21 million for next year. I mean, I can't see us somehow spending spending $21 million of next year's money. So for the first time in several years, we're going to go into next offseason with $12 million. You know, I mean,
yeah.
Look what Mickey did when we were negative $26 million. Right. What can he do if you give him 12 in the black? You know?
Loomis, I mean, math. Hell.
Right. So how awesome would that be?
Coming off a Super Bowl, man.
That's
pretty nice.
Yes, it will be. And it's fucking, you know, you say that. And last year, you know, maybe we ate the cheese.
Oh, we definitely did. The greatest team ever assembled on paper for the Saints.
Right. We ate the cheese. I'm not sure what went wrong. But
it was just a wrong statement.
Yeah. But everybody, look, you know, but anyway, but I honestly feel that, you know, the hindsight being 50-50, that we'll be a much better team this year coming up in 2015.
It doesn't take much to get better than the 7-9 disaster.
Right. Well, and the inconsistent 7-9 team.
And just not only that, just getting blown out by a couple of teams. I mean, losing when you have everything on the line and you lose to Atlanta at home.
Right.
Just, I mean, I can't sit through that again this year.
No.
It was brutal to watch. I mean, the Ravens game, you know, just disgusting. Like, I haven't felt that way at a Saints game in a long, long time.
Yeah.
And that's what part of that spurned on, you know, this whole process.
Right. And I like it. You know, we've heard, if you've read any articles, you've heard, you know, this is the old Sean Payton. And I agree with that. Everybody saying Pawpaw Sean last year.
Grandpa
Sean, whatever he was.
Yeah. Now he's Rampage Sean.
You know, right. Now he's Rampage Sean. I like that. If you go back and...
He's single Sean. Slaying.
You know, That might have had something to do with it. But also just after the bounty, you know, after Bounty Gate, after the 2012 season, did the, you know, the punishment, did it have an effect on him? You know, as far as being more contrite and not really, you know, being that forceful figure that he was from 2006 on.
You mentioned that. I mean, that's a good. I mean, I know we mentioned him possibly being neutered, but like when you really see, like, you know, the moves they're making now, it seems like he's really, really back. Like he wasn't really back a year or two ago. Like he was, the effects were still lingering. The effects were still there from that. But now it's like getting back to, all right. Let's see Goodell do some shit to us again.
No, all right. That's not tempting.
I'm not tempted, but I'm just saying, like, now it's back to, like, he's really, like, this is the Peyton we all know and love. Like, even though we were there, and even though we had a good 2013 season, still wasn't quite right.
Is it that, or is it, you know, how he loves his crisis, and he's got his own crisis?
Oh, you love your crisis talk.
I do. I love my crisis talk as much as he loves his crisis.
It's not as simple as that. Although him and Mickey were like 7-9, okay, this is fucked up. We got to do something. I mean, that's what's you know, spurned
so
all of this.
All right, so going back to when Breeze said a couple months ago how him and Sean and Mickey got together and identified what the problems were. Remember that?
That's part of the. It means he probably mentioned, hey, you know what, Stills wasn't right. Quite what I needed him to be. All right, we can get him out. Jimmy had some issues. Okay, well, he's on the trading block now.
Right, and so now Bree's coming out and saying, oh, I'm shocked about Jimmy as much as the next guy.
100%, they had to let him know they were thinking about doing this. They had to.
You would think, right?
No doubt in my mind that he knew that Jimmy was on the block and there was a good chance he could. No, 100%.
And he was okay with it.
Jimmy from the block, is that what you said?
Yeah. But also, too, it goes to feed a lot of people are talking about, oh, maybe it's the Breeze trade rumors. Like, okay, now yeah. You're really acting like a fucking retard.
Right.
Oh, those two. Yeah, the Breeze trade rumor people. And I mean, wait, that got so out of hand. Didn't Schefter or somebody?
LockCon 4 or Rappaport. But even then, like, so I was listening to – I listen to a DC sports radio show every day on the podcast.
Do you know how irresponsible that is? Anything they say.
And even they brought up, like, oh, there are reports that Breeze is being traded. You know, Breeze might be on the block. Like, hey, I'll take Breeze for – 5 of our best players and draft picks, whatever you want. But look, Breeze is not going anywhere. Breeze is the best quarterback we will ever have maybe even the team history.
I hope you're wrong.
So, like, to me, he's not going anywhere. There's no chance that he goes anywhere.
Correct. If you right. Well, he's not going anywhere for several reasons. A, he gives you the best chance to win. B, there's nobody that can replace him. You know, even if you think you can, you know, combine some of these picks and go up, you know, Jamie Winston is going to be a fucking bust in the NFL.
He's a fucking knucklehead, man. Really? You want to go right? That's you want to go from Drew Brees to Jameis Winston? Get the fuck out of here!
Right.
You are an idiot.
Right. That's what. And I'm sure you've read the same things I read. People saying, "Oh, the Saints are going to go after one." That's just dumb. Sean Payton would not do that.
Right.
No, I mean, not in a million years. So I don't even know where that crazy talk is coming from.
It's a way for people to get clicks. Oh, Breeze, but, you know. Yep. Right. Clickbait. That's all it is.
Yeah, I guess it's like the one that we talk about.
There is zero chance that he's going anywhere, and nor should he.
No.
You know,
no.
He still has a good productive years. Look, if we put a good offensive line around him again, who knows how good he's going to be.
He's 3 years younger than Brady. And how was Brady's season last year?
He won a Super Bowl.
Oh! So, you know, so perhaps Drew, you know.
Yeah, look, he's.
And as long as he's protected and not getting hit,
it's just crazy because.
Play for another 4 years, easy. Right.
And even, like, I hear some fans talking about, yeah, we should move on. I'm like, no, you're a fucking squirrel. Just shut up. You are an idiot right now.
An idiot.
Just stop. You are an idiot.
Right. Look, God knows I like to, you know.
Squirrel.
Like
that's a Buddy D throwback right there.
So be it, man.
God knows
you
I like
people
to
who mention getting rid of Breeze, they're fucking squirrels.
I said, y'all know I like to bust Breeze's balls about, you know, his off the field.
Yes, we know you like to fondle his balls.
And his short stature.
And his birthmark.
But again, what I've always said, you know, is on the field, that man is...
He's the best chance we have to win another Super Bowl.
And, I mean, second to, you know, I wouldn't trade Drew Brees for any quarterback in the NFL. Except maybe Andrew Luck.
I was going to say, Andrew Luck would probably be the guy.
Right. Yes, only because of his youth.
Right, right. That's it.
Because if you had Luck, you have another 10, 12 years of...
Of this.
Right.
Right, instead of 4 or 5.
Trading Breeze is not even... it is clickbait. The internet has ruined...
A lot of things.
And I think we had talked about a couple of weeks ago about that article by that some asshole who said that maybe... what would it take for Buffalo to get Drew Brees? Did we talk about that?
I don't know if we mentioned it or not, but I remember when it came out.
Right, it was just some asshole who, you know, does local, you know, news coverage somewhere, or covered the Buffalo Bills, and that was, you know, that was his article. Oh, what would it take for the Bills to get Brees? Because, you know, and it was like, not after, you know, it was just stupid. I don't know. I mean, what would it take for me to, you know, build a Frankenstein monster? I don't know. Who the fuck knows? Why are we talking about stupid shit that's never going to happen?
Because people...
You know, what would it take for me to marry Kate Upton? I don't know. A 12-inch cock and a couple $1 billion, I guess. I mean... You know? I think I'm stuck with what I got, you know? You know?
You know Justin Verlander.
I have no idea who that is.
That's who she's dating, the pitcher for Detroit.
Oh, okay.
Millions of dollars. They had all the pictures come out on the internet.
Does he have the 12-inch cock?
Didn't seem that big, but he's also got $200 million behind his name, so.
All right.
To help.
All right, so maybe I need a fucking 9-inch cock and $5 million. I mean, like, you know, now things are coming more reasonable. But anyway, I mean, but yeah, the internet had destroyed.
Yeah, it's just the whole Breeze getting rid of it is just the dumbest thing. Just stop it now. Stop wasting our time. It's just
all right. So, I mean, you kind of touched on this. I don't know if there's anything more to say, but I mean, it's just like your thoughts on the 9 draft picks and our cap situation.
I tell you what, this is going to be the most exciting draft since 06. Like, I am actually looking forward to this draft a hell of a lot.
Well, it's just because you're getting like...
Because we have 9 draft picks.
Well,
because we can actually do something.
Right,
I agree. Watch it and watch the Saints do something.
I mean, like, over the last couple of years, due to trades and Roger Goodell's piece of shitness, you know, we haven't had a lot, you know, the first through third round picks. We've only had a handful over the last couple of years. Now we're loaded with, like, I'm excited to see what we do now. I'm still not going to look at any mock drafts because that's just still dumb, but I'm excited to watch the draft now. It's excited to have this much ammo and be like, you know, realize that this is where we reload our roster for our next great run.
Yeah.
This is it.
Well, and now we have Jeff Ireland.
Mm-hmm.
Hopefully he can make a positive change with how we've been drafting. Because, again, you go back and look. I mean, you know, we've hit on some. We've missed on quite a lot, unfortunately. I mean, maybe every team does that, and we just don't realize it. Because we don't follow them as closely. But I said, you know, we definitely can't have any more P. Robs or Charles Browns.
No. Well, and you're gonna.
Here's the thing.
You're
or,
gonna. That's a natural.
Chip bonds and,
All right, but that's the fact that you have so many today. That's a natural part of the process. The good thing is that you have 9 picks, so your odds of getting hits are better.
Right. And
you
look,
just have
I don't
more
care.
Holes in the water. You're going to catch more fish.
Correct. And look, I don't care where we draft them. You know, if we draft a Marquise Colston, you know, type player again in the later rounds, and we miss on our first, well, that's fine. You know, okay, I don't care. I don't care where.
Sometimes
care
that's better because they're cheaper.
And good point. Very good point. You're right. You get them for a little cheaper. But yes, we have to hit on the draft. Again, it's going to be so much fun watching the draft this year, knowing we have those 2 picks. And, you know, wondering what we're going to do. I mean, at 13, okay, you know, are we going to – even while the top 10 is going on, they can definitely package
still a chance
those two
we can trade up, right? I mean,
when is the draft? April what? Or May?
No, April. No, it's April.
I thought it was May, but it's end of April. I'm going to be in fucking Disney World when we with the draft's going on.
Oh.
Weren't you in Disney World last year?
Not for the draft. I was in I went to the Players Championship golf tournament out in Jacksonville.
Okay.
We traded.
But
I had a gasm at the table when we traded up to get Cooks.
But right. So, you know, the draft is going to be fun just because of what we can, you know, what we can do.
There's a lot of picks to look forward to. The past couple of years, we're like, we don't pick until round three, so who cares?
All right, so but then the cap space, that what do we have now available? $4 million,
finally? Something, I mean, somewhere three-something, you know.
We have a little bit of a cushion here.
But we're going to
– the draft. We're in better – we walked into this when everybody's saying the Saints were going to be
– cap hell, right.
Destroyed. And some might argue that because we lost Jimmy Graham, but when you look at the overall picture, it's not – we weren't destroyed. In fact, we might even be in a better situation personnel-wise.
Right, because you have to factor in the next couple of years. Like the moves we made didn't necessarily save a lot of money this year, but it freed up next year and beyond.
Right. Right, look, losing Jimmy Graham had nothing to do with the cap, okay? It had nothing to do with the cap. That's not why they moved him. Because it did not help you this year. It did not help you this year at all.
Yeah, we're taking on all his dead money.
Right. Your $9 million got put on this year.
That is a
dead
statement
money,
right there.
And then $4 million from the player we got for him. So that's $13 million on a guy who was costing you $11. So, Jimmy Graham, my opinion, had nothing to do with the cap. I think I'll go over.
I mean, I know we've covered it.
Right. Peyton,
but
everything we said, this is old Peyton. He's coming back and he's telling everybody, I'm the boss. It's my way or the highway. You don't like, you know, he is channeling Bill. Bill Parcells must have got a hold of Peyton.
Bill Parcells.
You know,
well,
I'm sure
Peyton got a hold of Bill Parcells, actually.
What is thy bidding, my master?
Right. Oh, God.
You must get rid of the tall alligator armed one.
Right. You must let these people know, fuck that, you know, players are shit and that you're the coach.
You must sacrifice the second best player on your offense.
It is unavoidable. It is your destiny.
Holy shit. I can't believe we never mentioned that comparison before. The Peyton Parcells, Darth Vader, and the Emperor.
Darth Peyton, that's his new name. Grandpa Sean.
Right,
he's
Darth Peyton.
Right. No. And you're right, this year he is Darth Peyton. He's slicing down anyone in his way.
Everything is proceeding as I have foreseen.
Oh, I love it. That's going to be the title of the episode. Oh, that makes it all worthwhile.
I know you got your music now.
Yeah, man.
See, that kind of music David will actually sit through, right?
Exactly.
Yeah, David's like, well, exactly. let it play.
Oh, I kind of like this.
Speaking of a little production, are you still playing a full song at the end of the podcast?
Sometimes the full, sometimes just cut it.
See, I think that's
David's like, that's when you should let the song play.
Yeah, those are the songs I used to always enjoy, you know, back before I was on the show. Those songs at the end, that's where you put your one little musical taste right there. That's the great spot to Jason, if you want someone to listen to what you like, that's where you put it. Put it there toward the end and let it play out. You know, because then the show's over and they can. And I used to like that music in the show. I used to look.
It's because you don't want
that.
The show to be over and you get a little extra.
Right. Well, you know what exactly.
Oh,
so I'll give you a quick interlude. The boys are playing baseball now, so we asked them, like, what numbers do you want to be in baseball? And we were thinking they were going to pick Saints, you know, Saints numbers or whatever. So Andrew comes in, he's like, yeah, I'll be number 9 for Drew Brees. And Jake's favorite player was Jimmy Graham, so we're like, Jake, you can't be 80 now. But he chose 63. I'm like, what?
The hell?
Why 63?
Okay.
Let's, one quick little piece we, I guess, want to mention. So I'm not even going to do the NFL reach around segment, but just to throw out there, Reggie Bush signed with San Francisco, former Saint. Just wanted to mention him. And that puts to bed the rumors that the Saints might try to sign
him.
Well,
you know what put together the rumors was when we signed CJ Spiller.
Yeah.
You know, sorry, Reggie. We're going to take a younger version. Sorry.
Right. Only by 1 year, 2 years. Reggie's 30.
You know,
Spiller's 27. Yeah. 3 years.
Okay.
Right.
That's actually a lot. Yeah, you're right.
Yeah, football years.
By definition, that is younger. You are correct, sir.
Reggie will always have a very special meaning to a New Orleans Saints fan. At least he should. I mean, you know, after Katrina, getting him really ramped up the excitement for this team, not just locally but nationally. He was a big star coming to us. He contributed to the rebuilding of the city. He was very generous with his money, putting money into Tad Gormley Stadium and other schools. You know, that can't be highlighted enough. He was a big part of our offense, you know, in 6, 7, 8, and 9.
Huge.
That gave us, you know, a Super Bowl. So, always love Reggie. But yep. It's, you know, he's older. He's not the Reggie that he was in college. He never really was. I hate to see him go to San Francisco because they are a fucking dumpster fire.
They are. They are collapsing.
And this is only second to watching Atlanta fold, San Francisco folding.
Yeah, this is pretty awesome to watch them crumble.
I don't think Reggie is really much help anymore. I think that's why Detroit got rid of him.
He's
going to
be a part-time player. They still have Carlos Hyde. He's going to take a majority of the carries now.
Right. But I wish him the best.
Part-time players make part-time plays.
You know, I'd love to see him, when he does decide to hang it up, to maybe sign a one-day contract with the Saints, just a, you know, little tip of the hat. I don't see him doing that.
Yeah.
But he has played with us longer than he's played with anybody else. I mean, we had him for 5 years. Everybody else has had him for 2. So, man, Reggie's been in the league for fucking 9 years already.
Pretty great. So is Marcus Colston and Jari Evans.
Yeah, yeah.
And Zach Strief.
Yeah.
Can't forget about old Zach.
Better not fuck shit up this year.
Well, we'll see.
All right. So we ended up filling the whole show with conversation. Let's do final thoughts on TV or movies, Jason.
Oh. Well, I'm excited we get a Better Call Saul episode in about 3 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
So I can't wait for that. I'll let the time go by so I can fast forward through. Last week's Better Call Saul was one of the best episodes of TV I've seen in a long time.
Can't remember if I saw that one.
It was a Mike episode.
No, I did not.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my God. You gotta go watch it.
Yeah.
It's awesome.
It is. Yeah,
Now, I think you have to be a Breaking Bad fan to really
to
love
really,
that episode.
Right, yeah,
to really
agree.
Love that episode. I think if you're not familiar with Breaking Bad, you might say, okay, that's a good episode, but, you know.
Actually, you know, I'll say this. If you haven't watched Breaking Bad, you're as dumb as the people who think Drew Brees should be traded. on top of Saul, I actually did watch last night's Walking Dead on time, and holy shit.
Was it good?
Just
some amazing death scenes.
Oh, brutal. It's brutal.
Brutal death scenes. What happened at the end of the episode?
Yeah. Oh, I
totally
got so
came
mad.
Off out of left field. Or you said totally makes you mad, gets you angry.
Like it got me like I'm getting kind of reinvested in it, and I like the setting they're in, watching them try to adapt from craziness to a little bit of society in here. It's an interesting dynamic, watching them try to reaccumulate to a civilized life. I think that's kind of been very interesting. So I've
reacclimate.
Right. I've been very into that. Let's see. Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. dumped this whole Inhumans thing on us. You just totally dig it in. Like, they're going full bore, you know, suit people with superpowers on TV, which is fine by me. I'm all for it. So
the only thing is it's never worked. I do think, though, that what they did and how they're going about it is going to work.
The fact that they could tie into the movies, I think, is huge. And that's the difference between that and, like, all the DC stuff. Ooh, TV that... and movies are separate, whereas in Marvel, like, TV and movies are all intertwined. Even the Daredevil show coming on Netflix next month, that's all connected, and that's a good
idea. Oh, good. Next month we get Daredevil. Good.
Yeah, I'm excited for that.
Oh, that means I can watch all of House of Cards. But the superhero thing, going back to that, the reason I think it's going to work, too, is in these other supervillain superhero shows – they always blow their wad with the villain on season one or two, and then you can't – and they put – the stakes are so high on season one or two. It's like save the cheerleader, save the world. Well, where do you go after you save the world? Whereas S.H.I.E.L.D., A, you have Hydra, who they've already established the rule, cut off the head to grow in its place. So you're always going to be able to replace any villain – with another villain, and each season you could run it with, like, who's going to be the villain of the season.
Well, I mean, plus on the Inhuman side, like, you know, there's a movie in 4 years, so there's going to be a slow burn leading up to the movie. So they have, you know, they don't need to burn it right away because the movie's in 4 years.
That could be a bad thing, though, too.
It could be a bit, I mean, if you got to wait, I mean, that's kind of what burned them in season one. They had to wait for the Captain America Winter Soldier reveal to really, like, kick in the gear.
Yeah. Yeah. Season one, the second half, was really picked up for S.H.I.E.L.D. I enjoyed it. I'm not sure what you're doing, Jeff, but I like to – I DVR them all, and then when it's over, I'll sit there and binge watch.
I watch, like, two at a time. I try to keep up.
Okay.
All right, so Damon, your TV show to kind of talk about. Final thought.
Well, I mean,
bring on one that.
All right, so if Damon, then I'll go back. Justified and The Americans have also been fantastic.
Yeah, we get it. You talk about them all the time.
Yeah, we don't care.
If you don't watch The Americans, I don't know what you're doing with your life.
No.
I'm watching The League.
Right. I went. Jeff, you mentioned it. House of Cards came out.
Mm-hmm.
Last month, I've seen that. Love that series. Love Kevin Spacey's portrayal of Frank in that movie or TV show.
It feels like a movie, doesn't it?
Yeah, well, it does. I guess maybe because I sit there and I get and binge watch it, so it makes it feel more like a movie. Also, I just went back on my HBO Go and watched last season of Game of Thrones.
Oh.
Getting, you know, I always like to watch
when
the
last
season.
When does that premiere?
Next month,
April 12th.
So wow. I don't even remember what happened last season.
Exactly. That's why
you
have to go back.
The big fight at the wall with giants.
That's right. Aha.
It's only 10 episodes. I didn't realize. I mean, we need 13 of those.
Yeah, they're every season is only 10 episodes.
Yeah, that's bullshit.
I agree.
Because I watched them real fast. I mean, I should have 3 more hours of content.
I think Better Call Saul's first season is only 10 episodes.
I think that's normal for a
new first
series.
Season.
Right, because you know, cuz you don't want to order too
like
many.
Walking Dead was only 6.
Right. It was a taste, you know.
Hell, I think Breaking Bad might have been only 8, but they had the writer's strike.
Game of Thrones is only in, you know, so I went back and rewatched last season. It was so awesome. You know, when he kills his father on the shitter, he kills his whore in the. I mean, just.
Yeah, that's good.
Man, that's just awesome. I think we need more nude scenes of Daenerys
supposedly, Targaryen, she's not doing it anymore.
Well, then fuck her. Get rid of her then. And kill off the character.
I don't know the thing.
You know?
But we might have to do a little Game of Thrones segment every week when it comes on.
Definitely.
Maybe so. All right. Well, other than that, I don't really have any other TV or movies to add myself that we haven't already discussed. So that's going to be all the show we have for you right now. We're going to thank our loyal listeners, as we do every week, for downloading each week and for telling all of your friends about the Dome Patrol podcast. Check out facebook.com/Dome Patrol Podcast, where we share videos of things we find while editing the show, or NFL memes. We're also on Twitter at Dome Patrol PCast. So if you don't listen to us on iTunes, Android, or Google Play, there's the old-fashioned way of listening to our show, Dome Patrol Podcast.
.com.
Say bye-bye, donkeys.
Bye-bye, donkeys that can't sit stills.
Good night, Hoodat Nation.
And Jabba just captured Han, took him down without a fight, and now he's frozen carbonite. Well, Jabba, Luke Skywalker's come to free his friends and take them all away. I see a little silhouette of a green man.
Master Yoda, will you raise up my X-Wing?
Four strokes of lightning, very, very frightening me.
Obi-Wan,
Jedi Master,
I'm just a slave boy, Qui-Gon's come to free me.
Here's a chosen one from the prophecy, sparing his life from this captivity.
Let me go.
Anakin,
no, I will not let you go.
Let him go.
Anakin,
I will not let you go.
Let him go.
Anakin,
I will not let you go.
Let me go.
Will not let you go.
Let me go.
Never
let me go.
No, 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 no.
Oh, mamma shmia,
let me go.
Lord Palpatine as an apprentice put aside for me, for me, for me.
Ba-ba-ba-ba!